Well, hello. Happy close to the end of October. This is Perrier, and you're on the air with Q&A with Perrier about calcium bentonite clay. I've had kind of an exciting week. I've been doing some talks to clay groups. People get a group of people who want to hear about clay, and I love showing up with samples and talking about clay, and we get everybody painted up and answer questions. So, I think I'm in interactive mode. I'm going to go to lecture now. We are going to talk today, just taking questions from anyone who would like to ask a question. And also, I wanted to talk about one of the talks I did was for my church. And I did a talk on to an alternative worship service on healing is a spiritual journey and clay is a spiritual cure. And when I did research, I was really opened my eyes to some things about how clay and the body are so similar. Everything in nature contains all the powers of nature. Everything is made of one hidden stuff, clay. And that was said by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And if you walk around and look, you'll notice that everything in nature is either comes from the ground, the food, the animals that are there eat the food, eat the plants, and then there's maybe they eat animals that have eaten plants, but everything, all of our nutrients, all of our minerals are coming from the soil. Everything that we need is supplied in nature right here on the planet. That's a powerful statement. And of course, healing is a spiritual journey. It's an alignment of body, mind, and soul in balance and harmony. And the body is designed to heal itself. And when it's out of balance, maybe we're not sleeping enough, exercising right, eating right, our schedules are all off. There's a loss of energy, a loss of equilibrium that contributes to a vulnerability of the body, so we're more susceptible to illnesses, disease, bacteria, infections, so to speak. So when we can balance the body, and the body is homeostatic, it naturally likes a state of balance with our alkalinity and just keeping it in balance. The body, when it's out of balance, even from things such as stress and worry, that creates over-acidity, which builds up in the body. So you can see the healing process does incorporate body, mind, and spirit, and a lot of it is our attitude toward what we have. I thought it was very interesting when I was preparing this how I found my research. I started looking for quotes about clay and didn't find anything that really sang to me. And like 2 days before, I get an email with a quote or a message from someone with something that really opened my eyes. And one of the messages, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. I, too, was formed from a piece of clay. And that's Job 33:4-6. And, of course, we know that God took dust, and the Hebrew name for dust is clay, and made man and breathed life into it. And then he gave us this clay, which was like he breathed life into the volcano, and the heat from the volcano burned out all the impurities and left pure trace minerals. So it's an interesting start. And when you think of it, the body is made primarily of silica, and silica is the dominant mineral in clay. There's more silica in clay than any of the other minerals. And silica is nanocrystals, and crystals are capable of memory, this memory of the cells. And it's also capable of transmuting, communicating, if you will, through electromagnetic energy, which the clay definitely has. It was very interesting that the dictionary describes bentonite rock as a clay formed by the decomposition of volcanic ash. It describes clay as consisting essentially of hydrated silicates of aluminum, regarded as the material from which the body was formed. So clay and the body are essentially made up of nanosilica crystals. So I thought that was very interesting, and the fact that our bodies are homeostasic and the clay is homeostasic. Now, homeostasic is explained as the ability of the system or living organism to adjust its internal environment by several complex biological mechanisms that operate via the autonomic nervous system to maintain a stable equilibrium. Well, I like what the Native American Indian said. They simplify it by saying, clay has a wisdom of its own and it knows where to go and what to do. So that's all that little paragraph with all those big words was saying. It knows where to go and what to do. I'm going to check over now and see if we have any questions. I have a question from Nan in Sacramento. Ingesting pascalite clay and bathing in bentonite clay for the past 2 months has proven to make a big dent in the eczema that I've experienced for 25 years. I still have issues with my scalp, probably due to the colorants I've used. I've been afraid to immerse my scalp in clay for fear of stripping the colorant from my hair. Is this a valid fear? No, it's not. It's not with the living clay. I haven't tried it with the pascalite. You might try it on a small area, but my daughter is a dyed redhead, and she uses the clay, and it doesn't affect her color of her hair at all. So it won't strip the color of your hair. So I wouldn't worry about that. Now, you said you are ingesting it and bathing in it for your eczema. Have you tried applying it directly to the eczema? You can either put it on, you know, oftentimes the eczema gets dry and itchy, and clay tends to pull the flaky dead skin cells away and help bring the blood flow. So I'd put a little of the topical clay on the area and let it dry and wash it off and keep doing that too. You said, I'm ingesting clay on a cycling schedule, 3 days on and 3 days off. Considering this schedule, what is the maximum daily dosage for ingestion? I started with 1 tablespoon and have increased to 1.3 tablespoons. Okay, you're taking pascalite clay, so I'm not understanding why you're doing 3 days on and 3 days off. Maybe they recommended it with the living clay. You can just continue. In fact, it's better when you start to continue it for 14 to 21 days to help it get rid of parasites and really do a good cleanse job. And after that, you can back down and find your maintenance level. Now, I'm not sure how you're taking the clay, so if you could shoot me another email and let me know if you're taking it in a liquid form or if you're eating the hydrated clay or how you're ingesting it. A tablespoon is a fairly small amount. I generally recommend 1 ounce to 2 ounces of the living clay twice a day for 21 days. Now, not being that familiar, I tried the pascalite clay. It was a little coarse and gritty for me, and it just wasn't as smooth as the other one, and so I didn't really take it for very long. I just tried it once, and that was enough. When you have something that you like better, it's hard to go back to something that's a little harder to get down. The mixing directions for all the clays are different. Your pascalite is a 1-to-1 clay, generally 1 part clay to 1 part water will make a paste, and if you get more than that, it gets pretty watery and sort of separates out. So I don't know how you're taking it. So if you can shoot me onto that, with the living clay, like I said, I take 2 ounces twice a day for 21 days. Then I back down. This is just for a normal detox and cleanse. If I have something really wrong, you can take more than that. But all clothes are different, so you may want to call the Pascalite people and find out what they recommend on that. And I have a question from Fran. Is it better to take clay on a full stomach or an empty stomach, or does it really matter? Fran, I find it doesn't really matter. You can take it early in the morning, late at night, with a meal, before a meal, after a meal. If you just get it on you on a consistent basis, it's going to work. Now, if your stomach is empty, yeah, it doesn't have to compete with food and things. But clay is so powerful, and there's such drawing, and just a small amount covers such a large surface area that it's going to find a way to work. People have their preferences. Play around with it and find out what works better for you. Some people, if they take it early in the morning on an empty stomach, I can't remember. Some of them say it makes them constipated, and then some say they take it at night, it works better. So kind of find how it works for you and play with it in that regard. And well, let me go back and see if I have any more questions. Denise in Denver, I wanted to start taking liquid clay each day, but I'm afraid you're off the page. I'll take too much. How should I take the clay each day? With the living clay liquid, it would be very difficult to take too much. I have people who drink 6 and 8 ounces, 4 ounces 4 times a day to try to lose weight. I had people on a clay fast who drank from 4 to 8 ounces a day, breaking it up. So you'd have to take 25% of your body weight to overdose on clay. Now, if you're just starting out and you're highly toxic, that might really kick you into detoxing quicker than the body can eliminate it, and you might break out in a rash or have a little headache or feel kind of lethargic for about 3 days as it's throwing so many toxins out. So you want to drink a lot of water with it. I recommend taking 2 ounces twice a day, like I say, for 14 days to 21 days. This will get rid of parasites, the eggs that are left behind. It'll cleanse. You know, I want to take it on a daily basis because it's going to, we ingest parasites. We ingest pesticides and toxins every day. I was just reading an article on if you're not eating organic, how many pesticides are on like a pear or a peach because of the fuzzy skin, it sticks to it. Celery is one of the highest to hold the pesticides. So wash your fruits and vegetables in a little clay and get those pesticides off, but drinking the clay will absorb them before they go into your skin. Because we're exposed daily and have no idea. Berries have no protection, so if they cling to berries. Now, something like a pineapple with a tough skin or a banana, you don't have as many pesticides with. So it's kind of common sense. After a 21-day period, you'd usually back down and find your maintenance level, and your body will tell you if you need more. If you start getting a little indigestion or something, kick it up a notch. And you can always kick it up. The rule of thumb is if you're not getting the results you want, take more clay. And of course, if you have major problems, aggressive is good. But like I say, at first you want to start out kind of slow and build up in case you're really highly toxic internally. Stan from San Diego, what's the best clay for healing use? Are there any clays to avoid? Oh yes, there are a lot of clays to avoid. There's an article on About Clay called Criteria for Selecting a Quality Healing Clay, and it really addresses that issue. There are a lot of good clays out there. Some are better for internal than they are for external. Some are better for external than they are for internal. Your green healing clays, your calcium bentonites of the smectite family are generally considered your better healing clays. It's rare that you can find a calcium bentonite that swells, and that is if you can find one that does swell, that is a great asset because it has more space for holding toxins and more drawing power. There again, your sodium bentonites are totally different. Now, they swell quite a bit more. They can swell up to 14 times, but you don't want to drink the sodiums. They're very high in salt. Most of your sodiums are kind of a plastic-like clay. Clays come differently. When you mix it with water, it's a glue gel-like consistency rather than a creamy sour cream-like paste. You want to look for those differences. They're all colors of clays. A lot of your colored clays are good. Your green French green clays are considered good, extremely good for topical use. Maybe not so much for internal because it's a coarser clay. You want to look at the screen mesh. A 325 screen mesh for ingesting is preferable, because it's not as gritty or sandy. Some clays are quite sandy, and one of people on our chat group said if you'll throw a handful of clay run a little bath water in your tub, put a little clay in and let it dissolve and swish it around, and then just let the water out, and if when it runs out it leaves sand behind, coarse sand, then you know you have a very gritty clay and you want a smooth, fine clay. You want a clay that's a 9.7 pH or at least an 8.0 or above. You want a high pH clay. There's some clays out there that are acidic. Your ileites are more immature clays. A lot of these clays, particularly these sodium bentonites, are used commercial. It's used in sealing tank ponds, oil well rigs, asphalt sealants, different in paints and plastics. So all your clays are a little different, but there's a very good article that has listed the criteria you want to look for. You want to get it from a company that's a professional, that they have a contact number that's easily reachable where you can ask them questions. You don't want to buy things out of a Ziploc bag. You don't know how it was handled. I like to look for a company that has a quality control report, that they lab test their clay and they send samples off to have it tested for your Staphylococcus, your E. coli, fecal matter, all sorts of things of that nature, and that the mineral composition in the clay is safe. And that's one thing I like about the living clay, because they have a quality control and they test every batch. And you can play around with clays. Now, there's a misnomer on clays. The word montmorillonite is being thrown around. Originally, montmorillonite was found in Montmorillon, France. And the name has stuck to it. That's really the location the original clay came from. But any clays with those same chemical properties, they're calling montmorillonite. Well, montmorillonite is in probably all clays. All clays have some montmorillonite, but a pure vein of montmorillonite is very rare. I don't know if there's any pure veins really around now. And a lot of people are calling their clay French grain, and they don't even come from France. So we tend to latch on to what we think people are looking for. Actually, calcium bentonite and montmorillonite are exchangeable names for clay. There is montmorillonite in all your calcium bentonites. Like I say, how much varies. The mineral composition in clay is what gives it its uniqueness and helps it work. Jean in Connecticut. I wanted to put a poultice on my colon and liver. Can I do it both at the same time? Yes, I don't see any problem with that. You know what? I found a good way to use a poultice. If you put a bandage or a gauze pad over it, it tends to dry out. But if you'll take Glad Press and Seal that you find at the grocery store right up with the saran wrap, one side is kind of tacky. Tear you off a big sheet, cut a square the size that you want, put the clay thickly in the middle of the portion that you have, and then apply it right to the area, and then press the sides around, and it will keep it in place, and you can, you know, put it on your abdomen and put your clothes back on and wear it, and it will keep it from getting out on you. And the adhesive, there's a light stickiness, it sticks to your skin, but it doesn't, when you take it off, it doesn't tear your skin off like the adhesive on a Band-Aid. I think it's the great thing for sliced bread for putting things on. Now, if you're putting it on a hairy area, if you're a guy with a big hairy belly or chest or arms or legs, you may want to go with the saran wrap, in which case you kind of have to wrap it all the way around so it can stick to itself, or put something there and put tape on it. But again, I don't like the tape, but maybe you can find some that's not quite so sticky. You want to leave a poultice on. If you feel it getting hot, it's time to change it. In those areas of the liver, the colon, or the kidneys, I wouldn't leave it. I'd leave it on about an hour at first and keep doing that. And if you can tell it, you feel it's getting hot and warm, then take it off and let it rest a while, and then put some fresh clay on, because clay will be cool when you first put it on. Okay. Christy in Gun Barrel, Texas. Hi, Christy. We talked the other day. Can you mix essential oils with clay? Yes, but you only want to mix it with the hydrated clay. You don't put oils in the powdered clay. It won't swell. It counters the clay some way. So mix your 3-to-1 paste and then add your oils, and it takes very little. Now, there are some oils that the clay doesn't like, so you kind of have to try it and see. An interesting experiment we did one time, we were using a dye. We dyed some clay for a spa, and our dye maker changed. We had to get a new clay, a new dye, and the new company said, oh, we can give you a glycerin dye that's already mixed and it'll blend very easy. It's much easier than mixing the powdered dye. And they sent us some to try. And I always test my colors to make sure that it won't stain material. And I took a big swatch of the red clay that we'd made and put it on a towel. And I came back later, and it had kicked the red color out, and the middle was turning back to the greenish-gray clay color. We left some in the jar with the lid on it, and after about several weeks, we noticed that the clay was using its color, and the lid hadn't been off. And when we opened it, there was a smell like sulfur coming out. So it was really fighting with some chemical in there and trying to get rid of it and kick it out. So kind of play with them. Generally, I've heard eucalyptus doesn't work too well with it. Peppermint, your tea tree oils, probably your lavender, things like that will, but just use a drop or two. You can always add more. Sandra, can you take 2 ounces of living clay a day? Is that 2 ounces of dry powder or hydrated? Okay, Sandra, I like to take the liquid clay. I want it activated and working. You never try to eat the dry powder clay. You always want to hydrate it. You can take a teaspoon of the hydrated clay and just kind of put it on the back of your tongue, or you can mix it in pudding or jello or oatmeal and eat it that way, or put it in a smoothie. It's a little more constipated, so if I were using the hydrated clay, I would take between 2 teaspoons and a tablespoon. You could put a tablespoon in your smoothie, or if you're making a smoothie, you can put a tablespoon of the dry powder in your smoothie, but you may want to add more liquid because it's going to absorb that moisture and your smoothie is going to get real thick on you. As far as taking the clay, I prefer pre-mixing the liquid, one part clay to 8 parts of water. So for every 8 ounces of water, you want to put 2 rounded tablespoons of clay, put the lid on, shake it real, real good, let it sit for about 5 minutes, open the lid, let it breathe and expand, and you're ready to go. You can pour your 2 ounces and just drink it down or add it to apple juice or tomato juice. Or the other day we fixed some, we're somewhere and they had tortilla soup, and it was very greasy from the chicken in it. And I wished I had my clay there to pour in there to absorb that grease. Taking 2 ounces a day isn't very much. That's a good maintenance dose. If you're starting, you may want to take 2 ounces twice a day or even 3 times a day. And generally, I just follow my body. If I feel I need more, I take it. If I know I'm going to go and be eating something that's real rich, pasta, pizza, greasy hamburgers, you know, heavy red meat with fat in it, I want to drink a little clay before I go and when I get back to just absorb that grease. So just play with it, use a little common sense, and like I say, if you're not getting the results you want, you can always take more. I have people who take 6 ounces at a time. I don't think it's necessary, and you definitely want to drink a lot of water when you take your clay to help kick off the toxins. But 2 ounces, the surface area is so large, it's going to do you as much good, I think, as taking a large, large amount, unless you're really toxic and you're really fighting some stuff. Is it okay to store clay mask in plastic containers, or would glass be better? Glass will keep it from drying out better. Food-grade plastic containers are good. Either one is okay. The glass, it tends to dry out less quickly. Now, if you're opening it and getting into it every day and letting air in, that's thin up on the edges is going to dry a little bit. But generally, my jar of clay doesn't last long enough to get really thick and dry because I use it up too quickly. I go around with clay on me somewhere every day. I'm liable to walk to town and forget, or go to town and forget to wash it off. So, all right, let me see if we have any other questions. Does clay help with age spots if only taking internally? Yes, somewhat. It will start to help. It will help from keeping more of them coming up. I don't know how it does it. It's good to put some on topically too. But I've had people drinking it, and I've been drinking it for so many years. I'm 72, and I have very few age spots. I didn't even realize it till somebody mentioned it, that I should have had more. My mother had them, so I expected I would, but I don't. So I'm going to attribute that to the clay. The clay works on your liver, and your skin is a reflection of your body and what's going on with the liver. And when the liver is out of balance, you have things showing up on your skin, rashes and pimples and things like that. Plus, it helps with your acidity. So that's going to be another benefit of that. All right. See if anything else has shown up while we've been talking. Looks like we've answered all the clay questions for now. And just be aware that God gave us clay. He made man from clay, and then he gave it to us as Mother Nature's pharmacy. And I love the quote, "Everything in nature contains all the powers of nature. Everything is made of one hidden stuff, clay." So all the minerals that we need in our body are in clay. And when we plant foods in the ground through photosynthesis, they take up the minerals that we need. sometimes we've depleted our souls and the minerals aren't there as well, but farming is learning how to replenish the soil. They're becoming servants of the stewards of the land and taking care of the land better. But, you know, Haiti is a good example of that. They cut down the rainforest and their topsoil washed away. And now they're starving because they can't grow crops, so they're having to plant trees and put in plants and things that will hold the soil. So be aware, recycle, take care of Mother Earth, and she'll take care of you. Well, our 30 minutes for today is up. It's been a joy. And by the way, I'm loving giving talks to different groups. So if you can get a group of 20 or so, 15 to 20 people, and would like me to come and give a play presentation with some demos, and if it's not too, if I can fly there by Southwest reasonably, I will come and would love to meet with everybody and share the message about play. We can talk about testimonials and things. So thank you and have a wonderful weekend. Goodbye.